Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IU Queen on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show planned for all of you today. My guests will be Sarah Bohm and Linda Sober-Colton. Both are chefs at the Catskill Animal Sanctuary, and we're going to talk about the Catskill Animal Sanctuary and the Compassionate Cuisine program that they both run up there. But before we do that, of course, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the news and my weekly recipe and some events you might want to be participating on in this next few weeks. So first, you know, this past weekend, I had the pleasure of going down to Washington, D.C. to visit with my daughter who just moved there, who took her position at the Smithsonian American Museum of Art. And she's a curator there. But we were visiting, and there was a Burning Man art show that we wanted to see. For those that don't know, a few years ago I was a chef at Burning Man for a camp, and Burning Man's pretty close to my heart now. Once you experience it, I think you're changed forever. And so we wanted to go see this art show. But while we were there, one thing I didn't expect was to participate or actually be able to attend the One Journey Festival that was going on up at the Washington National Cathedral in D.C. And I happened to be there right when Chef Jose Andreas was doing a cooking demo with a guest chef. And the One Journey Festival is a festival to raise awareness about the struggle of refugees in this country and around the world. And it's a festival to celebrate their stories, their talents, and the contributions that they make to our society, both socially and economically. And Chef Jose, as many of you know, has been a real mover and shaker when it comes to humanitarian efforts. He actually won the 2018 Humanitarian of the Year Award with the James Beard Foundation. And he was most recently down in Puerto Rico for a couple of months cooking for survivors of the hurricanes. And prior to that, he was in Haiti for a long time, helping feed people after the earthquake there. So he really was just positioning himself to really help bring food to those that are in need during desperate times, and he's amazing. And so it was really nice to be there and, you know, see all the diversity up on the cathedral grounds and participate in the market and dances. It was just really lovely. So I was really glad that the timing worked out and I got to be there. Right now in Congress, they're voting on the Farm Bill. Every 5 years, we have to renegotiate this Farm Bill, and there's so many things that are on stake. You know, the majority of the funding of the Farm Bill goes to support the SNAP benefits, which are the supplemental nutrition benefits that go to people in need. And as always, you know, they're trying to cut that back and make lots of strings attached to that aid. You know, some contingencies, you know, might be warranted, but many are not. And we really need to support the SNAP benefits that help so many people that are struggling to keep food on their tables. And they've also tried to connect to the Farm Bill with immigration issues, which it really is completely separate and shouldn't be connected. There's a lot of riders in there to support organic farmers, to support, you know, so many different issues around farming and transition to organics. And it's just, you know, such a complicated piece of legislation. But please read about it, find out about it and let your congressman know that you want them to support a fair and just farm bill. And I have more information you can read about it as well on the website, on my website at iEatGreen.com. Also, for those that don't know, there's been a lot of raising of awareness regarding plastics in our water and in our oceans. There's a bill right now to try to make New York City, I don't know if it's the whole state, a ban on plastic straws because, you know, the one single-use plastic is really the worst and, you know, finds its way into the landfills and finds its way into the oceans. And right now, we have an extra problem because for years, we were exporting a lot of our garbage to China and they were taking our garbage and putting it in landfills there. Why they were doing that, I have no idea. I guess it was money. But anyway, we're no longer doing that. And now we're struggling, we meaning our country, is struggling to find places to put our garbage. And unfortunately, lots of it is ending up in the oceans and in landfills just rotting away. So we all need to really do our part to try to reduce our garbage. Recycle what we can, although very often, like I'm just saying, the recycling doesn't really get where it needs to go to be recycled and ends up in a landfill anyway. So the best thing we can all do is try to reduce our plastic packaging, try to buy things fresh from farm stands and join a CSA, support your farmers, but try to not buy things in plastic at all possible and let your grocers know that you would prefer things to come not in plastic, and that would be a really great thing to do. Some great things going on in and around the city. Tonight, actually, at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a rally outside the Crestheimer Country Club that's in Woodbury on Long Island. Governor Cuomo is doing a fundraiser there, and he will be there, and we are boycotting and rallying to try to remind him that we are still here and we are fighting for him to really support the anti-fracking movement that we are all working towards. Right now, you know, we know that he has banned fracking in New York State, yet he supports all the infrastructure like pipelines and railroad cars and spraying the wastewater on our streets for de-icing and all that other stuff. And so we're trying to get him to stop supporting all the infrastructure around fracking, the pipelines, the power plants, and also to hold corporations who are creating that waste accountable and let them pay for the disposing of the waste. So if you are on Long Island and available, please join us from 6 to 7 tonight, and I will be there in front of the Crestheimer Country Club. Also, this weekend, lots of things going on. There's an herbal and edible walk at Restoration Farm. Restoration Farm is one of the few organic farms in Nassau County on Long Island. Ellen Kamai, who is a host on the PRN station, as well as the natural nurse and amazing knowledgeable person. She will be leading an edible and herbal walk at Restoration Farm. And she's just a wealth of information. So if you can join, if you've never had the pleasure of doing one of her herbal and edible walks, I highly recommend it. And it's from 1 to 2 this Saturday. Also, she is teaching an online course for thyroid, adrenal, and pituitary glands. Raising awareness about that and the sacred triune of those three glands and how they work together to help our emotional, spiritual, and physical aspects of our health. And you can join online. It's very reasonable, and you can find out more about that on her website at The Natural Nurse. However, I do list all these events on my website as well. This Sunday, there is a brunch happening. Edible Brooklyn is sponsoring this, and Gramercy Tavern will be there cooking up a storm and featuring cocktails. They will have local chef food and lots of networking opportunities there, and it's taking place at the Industry City Chef Lab, which is at Innovation Alley in Brooklyn. So that should be fun. You go to Edible Brooklyn to find out more about that. Monday, a friend and colleague of mine, Beth Fattini, is an author of her new book, The Green Wardrobe, Finding Eco-Chic Fashions That Look Great and Help Save the Planet. And she'll be at the book review in Huntington, signing books and talking about how to make your fashion choices in alignment with your philosophy. So come down and join that. I know she was working on that book for a long time, and I'm really happy to support her for that. June 13th, next Wednesday, Change Food, which is an organization that has come out of the TEDx Manhattan movement. Change Food is having a meetup, and they're trying to have these meetups on a regular basis. This one will take place in Brooklyn at the Ag Tech Lab on Bushwick Avenue. And it is an opportunity to come and network with other foodies and chefs. And the idea and the theme for this particular meetup is around funding and how technology and social media can help you get the funding you need for some of your innovations. So that should be interesting. I'm planning on going. I hope you will join us there. On June 15th, Crossroads Farm is trying again for a food truck radio. Seems like they keep getting rained out. But Crossroads Farm is one of the other organic farms in Nassau County. And they are having these food truck radios throughout the summer. And Friday evenings from 5 to 9 on their family events. You know, there's the food trucks along with wine and beer, craft beer. But they will also have live music and hayrides and face painting and bouncy slides and lots of fun. So they're in Malvern. If you are in the area, come support Crossroads Farm. Slow Food North Shore, which is the slow food chapter that I ran for many years. I have recently stepped down, but they're having their spring soiree and board member party on Tuesday, June 19th, at a wonderful restaurant called Osteria Liana in Oyster Bay. And so if you can make it to that, that should be a fun event. And tickets are online. So if you go to the Slow Food North Shore website, you can connect with that. Mercer, New York is having a farm-to-table dinner on June 29th in Poughkeepsie at the Locust Grove Farm. So go to the Mercer, New York website to find out more information about that. There's also a farm-to-table dinner supporting the Sylvia Center, another farm-to-table event at Catchkey Farm in Kinderhook, New York. So that's another fun event. Nations is happening this year again, July 14th and 15th in Colorado, in Denver. And I went last year, and that was a lot of fun. I thought I was going to go this year, but it's not looking like I'm going to make it. It actually opens up my schedule to go to the Farm to Table Dinner at the Sylvia Center, or to support the Sylvia Center. And I've always wanted to go to visit Catchkey Farm, so hopefully I'll make it up there. But I have so many other wonderful events listed on my website. I don't want to take the time to tell you all of them, but you can go onto my website, Arikin, to learn more about them. But one thing I do want to mention, because the application date is coming up, you have to apply by July 1st to participate in a climate reality project training. And this is working with Vice President, former Vice President Al Gore, in his climate reality leadership core training. And he's really training lots of people to help lead the fight for climate solutions. And it's a three-day workshop. Takes place in L.A., and it should be great. I'm actually thinking about doing it. The more we can coordinate our efforts to move climate education and climate awareness forward, the better positioned we'll be. So I'm hoping to do that. Also, I want to share with you my recipe this week. Asparagus are still in season, and they're just beautiful all over. The Environmental Working Group has come out with their Dirty Dozen list of the vegetables and fruits that are most important to eat organic, so you should check that out. Asparagus is one of those vegetables that's actually on the Clean 15 list. If you can buy them organic, great, but sometimes the organic ones are just so much more expensive than the non-organic ones, and the non-organic ones are still pretty low in pesticides. So, anyway, this time of year, I like to eat a lot of asparagus when they're in season and they're tasting their best. So this is a crispy sesame tofu dish with spring asparagus and stir fry. So I start with 1 block of organic tofu, 4.5 teaspoons of minced ginger, 4.5 teaspoons minced garlic, 1/4 cup of mirin, 1/4 cup of tamari, 2 tablespoons dark sesame oil, 2 tablespoons of hot spicy sesame oil, that's optional, 2 tablespoons of toasted sesame seeds, 1 onion cut into slivers, 1 carrot chopped, 1 bunch of broccoli cut into florets, 1 bunch of asparagus cut into 2-inch pieces, and I like to cut them on the angle, so that their cuts look pretty, 1 bunch of kale chopped, 1/2 cup of frozen corn, or if you have fresh corn, that's fine too, and then 4 scallions thinly sliced for garnish. I started by cutting the block of tofu into thirds horizontally so that I'm making the block of tofu thinner. And then I laid the 3 pieces out on it to a dish towel and covered it with another dish towel and lightly pressed it just to remove the water. And I'm using firm tofu for this. And then I cut it into cubes. And in a cast iron pan, I heated up some olive oil and I added the tofu cubes and sauteed it until they start getting a golden brown edge on one side. Then I added the ginger and 2 teaspoons of the minced ginger and 2 teaspoons of the minced garlic and sauteed a few more minutes. I turned the pieces of tofu over so that the other side can also get golden brown. And you just keep shaking the pan so that it doesn't stick. But it really makes a nice golden brown edge onto the cubes of tofu. And then I seared it with the mirin and tamari and the sesame oils. So I added the mirin, tamari, and sesame oils to the cast iron frying pan, just shook that around a little bit more, and then just lift that onto the side. I'm going to add that on top of the vegetables after the vegetables are cooked. So in a wok, I sauteed my onion in the little olive oil until they were translucent. I added the carrots, and you can cut the carrots however you like. I like to either cut them into julienne strips or into chunks. I'm not a big fan of just cutting the carrots into rounds. I just don't love the way that looks. But you can do whatever you'd like. You're going to add the carrot into the wok and continue frying until that starts getting soft. When it does get soft, you're going to add another 2 teaspoons of the minced garlic and 2 teaspoons of the minced ginger. Add the broccoli and continue cooking until that gets soft. If you need a little bit more oil, you can do that, or you can actually just add a little bit, a couple of tablespoons at a time of water and finish the sauteing in the water to keep the oil down to a minimum. And then you're going to add the kale and the corn and saute that for another couple of minutes until the kale starts wilting. And then you're going to de-dose the pan with the mirin and the tamari. So you're going to add a little bit more mirin, a little bit more the tamari. You can take those vegetables out of the wok and put them right onto the platter, and then just really quickly, just add a tad more olive oil into the wok and throw in the asparagus. And you're just going to steam those or saute those for a couple minutes, really like 2 minutes. You really don't want to overcook them. You can splash them with a little bit of the mirin and the tamari as well, just to sizzle them, and then put those on top of the other vegetables, and then add the sesame tofu to the top, and that way you have a really beautiful layered platter with the other vegetables on the bottom, then the asparagus, and then the tofu on top. And I garnished it with some scallions, and I served it with some brown rice, so you can also serve it with brown rice pasta or whatever you like. And that is it. Super easy, super delicious, and I recommend you all giving it a try. And now it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you my guest. I have Chef Sarah Bone and Linda Soper Colton, and they're the chefs of the Compassionate Cuisine Program up at the Casco Animal Sanctuary. And Sarah's been a vegan chef and instructor of the Casco Animal Sanctuary since 2016, and Linda's been there since 2012. And Linda joined there as a guest chef originally, but fell in love with her and ended up staying and never returned back to her vegan cafe that she had abandoned in Fairfield, Connecticut. Maybe she'll tell us what happened to that. And Sarah, continued on up at the Catskill Sanctuary as well, and together they've really grown the program, and I'm going to let them tell us more about it. Welcome, Cheryl and Linda. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
You're doing well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having
me
today.
So, Linda, I thought maybe I'd start with you, and you could just share with us. Tell us a little bit about the Catskill Animal Sanctuary, what you do there, and what is the mission of the sanctuary.
Sure. Catskill Animal Sanctuary is a magical place, and it's located in the Hudson Valley, so it's about 2 hours from New York City. And it is, we've been around since 2001. And our mission is to rescue farm animals from cruelty or neglect, and animals that have been abandoned. And the other part of our mission is to make vegans. That's what we do there. So we've, since 2001, we've rescued over 4,000 animals. And we've got anywhere between 2 and 3, almost 400 residents that call Catskill Animal Sanctuary home. And they come here, and they come for healing, and they come to meet all the people who come to visit them. So one of the main things we do during our open season, which is April through October, is we invite the public in to the sanctuary. And we have different programs because the way we think, the best way to make vegans, we think, is to educate them and to also look these beautiful animals in the eye, meet them, get to know them, know their stories, and you find that we're really not that much different than they are. And so people often have profound shifts in the way they think about them. So we do tours. We have group tours that go out, and people can meet these animals, hear their stories, learn some of the hard truths about animal agriculture. We have a guest house, so people can come and stay in this beautiful, restored farmhouse and stay for as long as they like, have private time with the animals, and walk around. And then we have different events during the year where we feature vegan foods, guest speakers, music, and we do all of this to advocate for veganism.
Sounds like a magical place. I would love to come and visit sometime. How far from the city are you?
We are just about two and a half hours from New York City. And so we do have a lot of people who come from the city to visit, lots of people from New Jersey and the surrounding areas. So it's very accessible. A very beautiful, wonderful place to be in the summer and in the beautiful fall. So, great place to be.
Nice. And do the animals live outdoors during the winter, or is there room for 250 to go indoors in the wintertime?
Yeah, they all have access to indoors, but they love to be outside. They go out during the days. You'll see, on cold days, you'll see some of the residents standing, to get away from the wind, standing in the sunshine, in front of a building just to soak up some warmth. But, they enjoy the outdoors. The pigs who don't have fur, they tend to get a little chillier and spend more time indoors in their barn with the hay and all. But we have lots of birds. We have lots of chickens, we have ducks and all. So they all find a way to enjoy the different seasons up there. And they're so well cared for, so they have all they need.
Mm-hmm. So can you share with us, tell us a little bit about the compassionate cuisine that you work so hard to run up at the Catskill Sanctuary?
Sure. So compassionate cuisine is the culinary program. And Kathy Stevens, who's the founder and director of the sanctuary, was her vision to, in order to make vegan, she said, we've got to teach people how to cook without animals or animal products. So she started this program, and over the years it's grown. We had, a few classes in the early years, and as you just said, Sarah's been with us as our most recent hire into the program, and we teach classes, wonderful, delicious, fun, intimate classes. Year-round, and we do things on all classes on all themes. So we try to engage people who are new on the journey. Classes like Vegan 101, we have a class that is always sold out, always waitlisted, which is Life After Cheese. It's just one of the hardest things.
I'm sorry, can you say what that class is called again?
It's called Life After Cheese because cheese is one of the, people can give up their red meat and their chicken and their fish, and they consistently tell us that cheese is the hardest thing to give up. So we have a class that's designed to teach people how to make a variety of different cheeses, and so you can get that same taste, the same flavors, the same feeling, without using any animal products. And it's very popular, and people love it, and find that it's easy to, you know, replace the dairy cheeses in their life. So all kinds of classes, and most people who come, you know, they cover a wide variety of skill levels. They don't have to be vegan. You know, anybody who's curious about plant-based cooking can come to a class. So we also have a food blog. So we develop new recipes. We put recipes from our classes on the blog. We send out newsletters. We've got all kinds of, you know, nutritional information, product reviews, and things like that. And then Sarah manages a new program that we have that's available to people who come and visit. And she does food demonstrations for free on the farm. And so people can sit down and take a mini cooking class and learn these really simple, healthy recipes, have a sample, and then take the recipe home. And you can go right home and make it yourself. So, and we're also working on a cookbook. We hope that's coming out in the spring of 2019. So we've got a lot of exciting things going on.
That's great. So Sarah, maybe you can share with us, what have you found are people's biggest challenge when it comes to going vegan, and how do you and Linda support them in that journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm happy to answer it. A common challenge that I hear is people feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to eat or cook, and that's understandable. It feels like a whole new world of food. But what I like to tell people is it's really not a whole new world of food. A lot of the foods they've enjoyed before they've gone vegan are in fact already vegan, such as apples and peanut butter, pita and hummus, veggie chili and rice. So by bringing that up to people, it takes away some of the intimidation surrounding vegan food, which can feel intimidating. And I think new vegans find it really empowering to realize that vegan food is really just real delicious food, which also happens to be free of animal products. And something that Linda and I encourage new vegans to try is making simple ingredient substitutions to veganize their favorite dishes. We have tons of delicious plant-based recipes for many familiar favorites, such as mac and cheese, lasagna, tacos, and all kinds of desserts. And I always think about there's a popular vegan message shirt that proudly proclaims, anything you can eat, I can eat vegan. And as longtime vegans ourselves, we know that is to be true.
What do you use for, like if you're making a mac and cheese, what do you use for the cheese instead of cheese?
I use soaked cashews quite a lot for that nice creamy texture. I'll use sometimes butter beans, which have a really nice velvety, smooth texture when you blend them. You can use butternut squash, and also nutritional yeast, which adds that nice cheesy flavor without using lemon cheese.
So you actually puree the squash to give it that orangey color?
Yes, I do. It helps a lot.
Good. Yeah, because so often, you know, it's so important that it looks familiar too, right? It, you know, kids want it to look similar to what they're used to and what they love. So
yeah, absolutely.
I find that always really important. So what kind of support do you guys offer? Right? So you said you have a blog, right?
We do. We have a blog that is, you know, we've got hundreds of recipes there. But we do other things. I mean, we have, for example, like we just launched a pilot program that's going national in the fall, and it's a mentor program. So if somebody's curious or interested in trying to go vegan, we pair them with a mentor, so somebody who's a little bit further on the journey, because, you know, one of the things that we've heard, and it's been validated by studies that we've read, is that people often feel alone on the journey. They feel isolated. So you pair with a mentor who can answer your questions, kind of make you feel like, you know, you're not alone, and talk through some of the challenges, give you advice. So that's one program that's going to be exciting for us and new for us. We also have a day camp. So lots of parents are interested in, you know, educating their kids when they're young and helping them to think about what they, the choices that they make in life. So we have this great, I mean, fabulous day camp, and we're taking registrations now, as a matter of fact, on the website. And you, it's a day camp. You bring your child there, and they get to have, you know, intimate time with the animals. They eat vegan food while they're there, but they learn to think, you know, they learn to think about what they do and what they eat and the environment and how it all kind of, it's all one thing. It all comes together. We also have tours, like I mentioned, so those are very popular, and we just encourage people to take advantage of all the many things that we do. You don't have to be vegan, you just have to be curious, really.
Now, your programs up there, when if someone's interested in becoming vegan, do you encourage, I know you guys do, but how do you differentiate between plant-based and vegan? You know, I know so many people are, you know, ask that, and what's the difference between vegan and plant-based? And, you know, I think when people think of plant-based, at least for me, I think of healthy food or real food, where a lot of vegan food sometimes, you know, in the aim of making a substitution for meat, they might be creating something that's not so healthy. How do you explain that to people?
I think that there's a distinction also with the two terms. In my experience, and Sarah can speak to it also, in my experience, when you use the term vegan, it implies that there is maybe an ethical or an environmental concern. There's more to it than the food. And when you use the term plant-based, it's often related to your health. So those are just the subtle way that it seems to the terms distinguish themselves from each other. So I think you can eat plant-based and also make unhealthy choices. But at the heart of both of them should be eating foods that come from the ground, that are whole foods, eating a wide variety of foods and thinking of the seasons. And when you do that, and you have an occasional, you know, something that's processed that happens to be plant-based or vegan, you know, we tell people that's fine. You just don't want to make a whole diet of it, of processed food. So eat a well-balanced whole food diet, and you won't have any problems with calcium, with iron, with protein, or any of those things.
You know, you just talked about protein, and that's a question that I always get. But before we go into what you recommend for protein, let's take a couple minute break. When we come back, we'll tell us more about that. Everyone, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Pavani with Ari Queen, and I'm here with my two guests, Chef Linda Soper-Colton and Chef Sarah Bone. Be right back.
Progressive Radio Network. The Thinking Person Station.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani with Ari Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I'm here with my guests, Chef Linda Soper-Colton and Chef Sarah Bone, both from the Catskill Farm Sanctuary. And we're talking about compassionate cuisine and how they encourage people to eat a compassionate diet. So right before the break, Linda, I was asking you about protein. You know, so often people are afraid that they're not going to get enough protein on a vegan diet. Can you tell me how you remedy that and what you tell them?
Sure. We hear this all the time. And we do try to educate people about how the body uses protein. But what we also do is try to tell them that if they eat a whole foods, well-balanced diet, they're going to be fine. So, you know, if you look at the biggest, strongest animals on the planet, they eat grass. They eat plants. They don't eat other animals. So we, by eating a whole food diet, we can get everything we need, and our body will assimilate these amino acids and make all the protein we need. And it is kind of funny that people worry in this country so much about protein. In fact, I had I did a dinner last night for a large group of people, and that was one of the first questions they asked. They were not vegan. And, you know, I said, just talk to them and told them the same thing. There are foods that are higher in protein, that have complete, what they call complete proteins. They have all the amino acids. So we talk about those. We talk about quinoa and soy. We talk about things like hemp seeds and all the lentils and beans and grains. And those are really good sources of protein. But we also try to tell people not to fret, not to worry about it, that everything you eat, essentially, has protein in it. And your body is going to take all that and put it together and make protein for you. And that myth that was around, you know, years ago, that you have to combine certain foods, that's been, you know, disproved by scientists years ago. So you don't even have to worry about combining your foods to get a complete protein. And when I make food, when I make my dinner for my family, I don't ever think, wow, what protein am I going to add here? I literally just eat good, fresh, whole food, and I get my blood checked every year, and I'm always at the top of the range for protein. So we just try to make people realize that if they eat well, they're going to get what they need, and they don't need to panic about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think in our society, we've been so bombarded with the belief that you need a lot of protein. It's not true, but when you think of who's been in charge of our, you know, nutrition education from, you know, beginning in elementary school. I mean, the American Dairy Association supported the nutrition education that I got in school. I don't know if I think that was national here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why you have to have milk in every meal in the school lunch program, and why we're so pushed on believing that we need so much more protein than we actually do.
And it's funny that we're all worried about so much protein, and we don't worry about all the chronic diseases that come from eating animal products and meat and milk and all of this. So we're not worried about that. We're just still worried about the protein. So we just try to dispel that myth as you know, as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that, what are people's biggest concerns in the idea about going vegan? Is it, you know, getting together with friends? Is it going out to eat? What do you hear as being the biggest roadblock to making the transition?
I think Sarah talks to so many people in her program, doing these food demonstrations on the weekend. So I'm going to let Sarah answer that one.
Yeah, sure. I do hear a lot about the social aspect. People can feel like the odd one out. I remember when I first went vegan almost 5 years ago, I felt like I was the only one because I was the only one in my social group. And it's hard. You know, it can feel insurmountable, but there are so many ways around that. And I encourage people, if you're going to be going to a restaurant with your friends and you're going to be vegan, if you know where you're going, maybe call ahead to the restaurant and see if they can have some good options for you there. Most places are happy to accommodate a vegan dish if they don't already have it on the menu. And veganism is definitely going much more mainstream than it ever has. So I find even when I visit my family in rural Ohio, I don't have a hard time finding food, which is really nice. And I also recommend, if you can, if you're really worried about your friends are going to a steakhouse or something, and you don't want just the side salad, if you have any say in what restaurant you go to, and you know the place that offers some good options and will make everyone happy, that's always nice to hear to suggest a place to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes when people are saying, you know, how do I make, you know, a vegan quiche, you know, and I'm like, well, maybe choose a different dish, you know. Sometimes you can make something substitutions. Like I actually do make a quiche using tofu, but you know, and I'll do that if I'm doing a party where there's quiche for everyone and I want somebody else who's not going to eat, who's vegan, to be able to eat something that feels similar. But in general, if you have a lot of vegans, you choose a different menu than a menu that is, you know, that would be highlighting something that you're going to have to make a substitution for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what's a typical weekday meal for you? Maybe Sarah, you want to answer this?
Oh, sure. I was listening to your recipe before about your asparagus stir fry, and that's very similar to what I make a lot. I buy lots of vegetables every week, and sometimes for dinner the week I have little bits and bobs of things left over, so I'll just stir fry everything together. I'll put in some brown rice to cook and cut up any vegetables I have on hand, a root of broccoli, carrots, celery, mushrooms, zucchini, and any kind of greens I might have. And then I'll just saute all those vegetables together with some garlic and ginger. I'll add in some tofu, tempeh, or chickpeas. I always have chickpeas, so they even go in the stir fry, and they're quite nice. And I'll add in some tamari soy sauce and sesame oil, and just cook them until they're crisp tender, and I season them with rice vinegar and a little bit of maple syrup, just that touch of sweetness. I love that served over rice with some toasted sesame seeds. It's so good.
Sounds good. So what are, Linda, maybe you want to do this, what are some of the go-to substitutions that you recommend to people that they can just, you know, use right away?
I think that there are some wonderful, wonderful things in the market today. So if people are looking to, you know, substitute one thing, what we try to say is, you know, pick one thing and find a substitute, try some different things, and see which one you like. There's different brands. So everybody knows about all the different milks that are available today, but there are things like, I mean, it's just a different world today than it was even 5 years ago. There's mayonnaise, there's butter, there's cheeses that are just have come so far. There's ice cream, there's, I mean, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the sausages, there's just so many things. So I would say pick one thing if you're on this journey and find a substitute that you're comfortable with, that you like, and then it becomes part of your shopping every week, part of your repertoire, and then move on to something else. Maybe you're starting with milk, or maybe you want to move on to cheese. So find the different things that work for you. And just remember that if you find a, you know, Beyond Burger, for example, and that replaces some red meat, you know, it is processed. So my family loves them, but we don't eat them every week. You know, we eat them maybe once a month. But find these things that you like and just kind of build on that as time goes by. And then also, there's things that you can make, you know, to substitute. Not everything has to be store-bought, so you can easily make a nut milk. You take 1 cup of nuts, 3 cups of water, put in, you know, a couple of dates, put in a pinch of, you know, salt, and you blend it up, and it's a nutritious, wonderful milk with nothing added. We have recipes on the blog for things like, you know, the mac and cheese that Sarah talked about earlier, for cottage cheese, for sour cream, whipped cream. There's just so many things that are easily replaced, and now there's so many resources online, and there's so many books out there. It's just, if you're looking to do it, and you're inspired to do it, lots of foods in the store, lots of resources online, lots of stuff on our website.
Mm. So when you make your almond milk, you don't strain the milk afterwards, you use it with the almonds pureed in it?
I do. I like that. Really, you know, it separates. So if you make it and you store it in a mason jar in the refrigerator, you'll see that it does separate. But all I do is shake it, and I like knowing that the whole nut is in there. I don't like straining things out. If you don't like that texture, certainly strain it out. If you're using it in coffee or whatever, but I like it. I think it makes a really rich, creamy milk.
Nice idea. I'm going to try that because I've always strained it, and then I always feel guilty if I throw the almond pulp out. I'm like, I have to figure out what to do with this almond pulp. I know it can make a great, you know, put it into a cookie or something, and I just have not really had the time to really experiment with it. Have you ever done that, where you've done something with the autumn pulp, or you don't ever strain it out?
I've done it. I've put it in smoothies. I've put it in baked goods. I've put it in, like, banana bread, because it adds moistness. But generally, I like to drink it, so. I like to drink it in my milk.
Mm-hmm. And so, Sarah, do you have any tips for when you go out? I know you said you'd recommend choosing the restaurant, which is always helpful, and calling ahead, but are there any go-to dishes that you find work really well for vegans when you're going out?
Go-to dishes. I would look at, like, pasta, and there's lots of different pasta dishes that are usually pretty easy to veganize. If there's something, maybe it's sautéed vegetables in, say, a cream sauce, you could substitute out the cream sauce and get olive oil instead. That's an easy one. And then any kind of salads, obviously with no cheese or meat. Sometimes if I'm not totally sure about a restaurant where I'm going to be going with some friends, I'll bring along some pumpkin seeds or walnuts in my purse and just add those to a salad to make it a little bit more firm. I'm really hard at those for something delicious.
Uh-huh.
I find that.
And Linda, can you share with us some of the other programs that you have up at the Catskill Sanctuary that people can participate in?
So, like I said, we do have, I talked about the day camp, that's fantastic. I talked about the mentor program. I've certainly talked about all the compassionate cuisine programs we have. We do have things where we offer, like, group visits. So if you have a group and you're interested in bringing your family or bringing people up there, you can arrange in advance and you'll get a private tour. They can also arrange for lunch to be brought in for you, and you can just make a really beautiful day of it. We do have, what else do we have up there? We have different groups that come to us every year that just know us and love us and kind of return. So if you have a relationship, for example, we have a sponsorship program. So if you are interested in sponsoring an animal, we have just such wonderful, wonderful sponsors. So they pay, you know, a monthly or an annual fee, and they sponsor their animal, and then they come visit, and they can come visit with a much more flexible schedule, spend time with their animal, and that's a great way to just kind of make a really personal connection with what we do and all of what we do, really. I mean, we're a nonprofit, so with all these animals that we have there, it takes money to feed them, to care for them, to provide for their medical care. So sponsorship and donations help us do that. So sponsorship is a great way to do that and make that connection.
Mm-hmm. And you have an event coming up, right? At the beginning, I was sharing a lot of farm-to-table events that are going on that support other nonprofits. You have a farm-to-table event coming up, don't you, in July?
Not farm-to-table. It's what you call our annual shindig. So it is on July 21st, and it's which is a Saturday, and we invite different vegan food vendors from all around the region to come. So it's a wonderful array of different ethnic foods, different vegan foods that are just people can try different things, and there's music. We have wonderful bands that come. We have speakers. We have cooking demos, of course. Sarah and I are going to be doing some wonderful cooking demos. And it's just a beautiful day. It's a family day. It's a day to spend time with animals. The information is going to be going up on the website very soon. We also have an event in the city. If anybody's in the city or near the city this coming Tuesday, it's a fundraiser. It's Cocktails and Cowtails. And it is a catered event. It's a dizzying array of wonderful appetizers and past hors d'oeuvres, and we have a silent auction. It's just a really fun night in the city. Information is available on our website for that as well.
And that's coming up this coming Tuesday?
Say it again?
Is that this Tuesday?
That is this Tuesday, yes. There's still, I believe there's still tickets available for that. So that is a lot of fun and a great place to meet people and connect with people who are, you know, passionate about this mission.
Great, great. If you send me that, I'll add that to my website too. I guess I'll just look it up and find it. Yeah, so it sounds like a magical place up there. I would love to maybe bring my social chapter up there for a visit.
We would love for you to come and visit, and so it really is magical. People do tell us, we don't make that up ourselves. I mean, people tell us that when they come there, they just feel like it's magical. It's peaceful, mm-hmm. It's a place of healing and love, and, you know, we're all there trying to make the world a little bit better.
Wonderful. So in closing, is there anything else you would like to share with my listeners before we run out of time?
I would say that come to our website, just see what goes on, try crowding out some of your animal foods with some plant-based foods, and we always tell people, you know, you don't have to go vegan in a day. Just take a meal out and start with something that is compassionate, something that is delicious, and, you know, join us on this journey. It's a beautiful, wonderful journey to be on, and we encourage people. We've got our email addresses on the website. Sarah and I answer emails from people all the time with questions. So we're happy to help anyone who's interested.
That's great.
And come and visit us.
Yeah, I agree. I am not 100% vegan. I always say I'm a vegan wannabe. I'm predominantly, you know, that's what I eat mostly. And it has become so much easier and so much more welcoming. I mean, when I first did it, you know, and I was raising my kids vegetarian, it was so much more challenging. You always get these looks like, you know, you're being difficult or, you know, I'm just trying to give someone a hard time by not eating what they're offering. And, you know, it had nothing to do with that. It was really, you know, just wanting to be healthier and make better choices. And so it's so nice to see that the movement has grown so much and that it's so much more accepted and part of mainstream food now. It's just, you know, you can get it anywhere. No one, you go into a restaurant asks for something vegan, and nobody gives you a hard time anymore. They all want, every restaurant, I think, wants to accommodate you. So,
it's definitely starting to
change out there.
Other thing, I would say, people think that their food choices are personal, and in this day and age, and it's not personal. All of the choices that we make are connected. So, what you eat matters. It matters to the planet. It matters to your health, which matters to your family and people you love, and it does matter to the animals. So everything you eat and the way you make your choices, we're all connected, and we all need to think a little bit more about the choices that we make.
I agree. Well, thank you, Linda and Sarah, for joining me. It's been wonderful to have you, and everybody out there for listening. Thank you so much, and I'll see you all again next week. Have a great rest of the week, and bye for now.